number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. Titans down in Atlanta for joint practices day number two. And we say hello to our man TD, Teron Davenport. Talking with TD is the podcast. You can hear him all over this radio station. And thanks to the fine folks at Bart Durham Law for having him down in Atlanta. TD, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, man? Appreciate you guys.
All right, just please, I've read tweets and everything. Was today better? Please tell me today was better.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Today was better. And you could tell that they made a concerted effort to come out more aggressively. I'm not going to say the fights were on purpose, but the, as Arden Key told me, the another a four-letter word for urine was hot. And I think that that's basically what happens, right? And Jarvis Brownlee Jr., he told me yesterday that the way that he wants to set the tone and make sure that they get off to an early start was get a PBU or hit somebody. And he got one early, and he made sure that he talked the talk, and they had a better start. It still wasn't outstanding, but it was much better considering how poorly they played yesterday.
Okay, so here – and I'm sure everyone shares this concern. I know you do. I do. I feel like it's been, and I think you've even asked about it, a theme of sluggish, slow, not the best starts. At this point in training camp, TD, I kind of feel like that should be out of the way.
Yeah, that should be out of the way, but unfortunately it's something that they've encountered twice. And everyone continues to point to the road trip, which, I mean, it's exhausting. I mean, yeah, they're staying in plush hotels, this, that, and the third, but hey, you're away from your family. You kind of have to change your routine. So it could throw you off a bit, but still, it's professional football, as Jeffrey Simmons said yesterday. You got to be able to turn it on when it's time to turn it on. And anytime you set foot in between those lines, it's time to turn it on. So they got to get it cranked up immediately.
So you and I have had this talk about Jeffrey Simmons in the hallway. We've talked about it on the air. You know, I've been critical of him. You've been around him more this year, obviously. I've been impressed from what I've seen. I feel like there's been a little bit of a change with him. Obviously, yeah. He came to camp, you know, lost some weight, looked really good. Like, looks like he's about to, you know, really show everybody. But I feel like how he has carried himself has definitely been what a leader should do.
Yeah, you might want to, in Madden, bump up the leadership attributes a few points this year. I think he's definitely stepped up. And, you know, one of the things that we always talked about, Chase, was not being so talkative, right?
Right.
And he said it yesterday. He said, man, it's got to be less talk and more doing. I'm tired of talking about these slow starts. It's what we had this last year, and we can't have it roll into this year. So you're right there. But then not only is he showing leadership just from the things that he's saying, he's also showing leadership just on the field. Like today, you know, he was able to poke through, get a sack. He made sure he talked his trash because that's his game and that's what he did. But then more importantly, you look at just his diet. I mean, I have a story coming out on he and J.C. Latham, and I'll drop this nugget from it. He told me that he put on from mini camp to training camp, because his whole offseason was all about, like, shedding weight and getting rid of bad weight. He told me that with the new routine that he put in, especially once he implemented it and focused on muscle mass, he gained almost 7 pounds of muscle from mini camp to training camp. And he's now at around 305. He was weighing about 297 during mini camp.
Talking to Teron Davenport on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Teron, from 0 to 100%, 100% being ready to go, where is Cam Ward right now in regards to the starting game?
In my opinion, I would say probably between 50 to 60, to be honest with you. There's still mistakes. I asked him specifically because I finally caught a mistake that he made twice, and that was not throwing the ball all the way out of bounds. He didn't do that in the Bucs game, and then he didn't do that today, and it was intercepted. And that ended the the move the ball period, you know. So that's something that he has to fix. He told me that it's just an understanding of the rules, and that he has to understand that all he has to do is get it back to the sticks, and that's fine. So that's something that he'll work on. But I think, you know, he has a way to go to get ready. There's still more, not confidence, but timing and rhythm he has to establish with the receivers, and even just that synergy, that being in sync with Brian Callahan as a play caller has to come too. So, nah, he's not ready right now. There are a game this week, and I was a betting man, I'll bet on the Broncos. May end up doing that, suggesting that later next month anyway, but nevertheless.
How much do we need to see him Friday night? We had Tim Hasselbeck on. Tim said, look, I like to see him go the entire first half, one series in the second half. I don't think that's Callahan's plan for Friday night, right?
Right. His plan is similar to last week where he played two series. Now, I know Cam, he begged Callahan to get him back in there because, you know, he's a gamer. Now, like anybody, you know, you love the game, so you want to play it. But I think, you know, he does need – I agree with Hasselbeck in that he does need to play the full first half. And I think you need to get him out there the second half, like get him used to going in at halftime, coming out and getting back into that rhythm almost like you're restarting the game.
You know, they got one more game left next week against the Vikings. Do you need to see Cam do a whole game? Does that concern you if he hasn't not done a whole game in preseason?
No.
Not at all?
No. No, I mean, you don't usually see the quarterbacks play a whole game, but I do think he needs to at least come out and play a couple series, especially, you know, the fans. I mean, they still pay money for the preseason, so give him a little bit of a show. Let him go ahead and play and let them see him. So it won't hurt you, that's for sure, because the one way you get better at playing football is by playing football.
Yes.
Brian Callahan himself said that.
I would be curious, and I don't know if you've asked him or gotten this from him, of Brian Callahan's philosophy, because for so long, and obviously it was with four preseason games, you know, there was that emphasis of go through the half, you know, go through into the locker room, go through the halftime, come out, play a series, and that was beneficial to teams. I'd be really curious of how he feels about that, and if now with joint practices, if that there's not as much of an emphasis on that anymore.
I think that's honestly across the league. The joint practices, it's controlled chaos. They're able to get the particular looks they want, et cetera. So I think that's something that, you know, all coaches have kind of adopted to, and you don't see as much, you know, as many stars, like first teamers playing in the preseason. But like I said, man, best way to get better at it is to do it. So I'm all for guys out there playing.
Okay, I love asking you this question every training camp, and I'm going to dub these TD's Diamonds. Who's a guy that we're not talking about that we need to be paying attention to right now that stood out?
On the Titans, a guy that we're not talking to that stood out. There's two. I'm going to just stick to the one, man. Cam Horsley. I think you look at him because everybody was like, hey, why the heck did they cut Keandre Coburn? I was like that too. But, you know, Cam Horsley is a guy that they like, and he actually had a tip pass that ended up being an interception. He brings it, man, up front, and he's a D tackle that'll help them out. So if you want like a gem, you know, a diamond, digging a little deep, he's the one. But, I would go there.
Outside Teron getting asked about Cam Ward, what player do you get asked most about on this Titans football team? Because for my friends, it's Restrepo, and I'm like, he ain't making the team. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Who do you get asked? Who do you get asked about most?
Yeah, I would say a tie between Restrepo, Calvin Ridley, and Jeffrey Simmons. I would say that. I get the Simmons questions a lot just because people know that he's one of my favorite players in the league, you know. That doesn't mean I'm not objective with him, but I get the questions on him a lot because they know that he's a guy that I'm very fond of.
What have you seen from Gunnar Helm so far?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you mentioned him. He had an appearance today. I wasn't sure that he got on the bus yesterday, but today he made a couple catches, man. So, you know, he's a guy that's just continuing to find his way. He's made some plays throughout camp, and I think he's become a guy that Cam Ward trusts. I would expect to see, you know, him in some 12 personnel sets. He and Teague, very good route runner, very excellent feel for zone, knows where to find the windows and stuff like that. And he actually has showed up in 9-on-7, right, in run period. So I think that as shown by the unofficial depth chart with him being second behind Okonkwo, he's had a very good camp for especially for a rookie tight end.
So it's funny, I was going to go there. Chase's unofficial depth chart would have him second as well behind Chig. I have David Martin Robinson ahead of Josh Wiley right now. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Hey, you're not the only one. And if you remember last year, one of my gems or diamonds was guy you just mentioned. You know, and I mean, of course, I was a little biased because he's a Temple guy. You know what I mean? So. It is what it is. But, I mean, you talk about an athlete. You talk about a guy that runs routes well. He actually has become a really good blocker for them also. And he is third on the depth chart there, and he's a guy that they apparently like more than Wiley. But, hey, let me tell you this. Josh Wiley had a touchdown yesterday and today, so he's trying to make sure that he's in the mix. And if they do release a tight end, I could tell you for sure one of them, they'll get scooped up because this league, they have their eyes on the Titans tight end group. I'm not saying it's the best or a top five in the league like Cam Ward said about the receivers, but they are a group that a lot of people have their eyes on.
So, speaking of receivers, Joe mentioned Restrepo, and I agree. I don't see a spot for him right now. Maybe practice squad to continue to develop. But when you look at Prochet, Oliver, Jaquan Jackson, Mason Kinsey's always in there. What does the bottom of that receiver group look like right now?
Yeah, I think Prochet is the guy. He made a couple. Man, he made a diving catch today that I just said, man, this dude. Rent must be due.
Yeah.
It must be time to pay the piper because he's trying to make sure he makes this roster. I think Prochet, you know, he'll be in there on the punt return group, kick return group. Punt return's going to be interesting. I think Tim Ray DK wins that. But, I mean, nevertheless, he's going to be in the back end there. I think they keep six, maybe seven, but he will be the last guy in.
All right, Teron, one being low, 10 being high. What is Brian Callahan's frustration level, best you could tell right now?
You know, that's a good question because I asked him, like, hey, man, like, slow starts last year, slow start last week, slow start yesterday. And he was like, well, we just got to play better. And he said the guys have to make plays early and it won't seem like it's so slow. I mean, that's kind of obvious, but my thing is, what can you do to get these guys to get off the bus ready to go? And he doesn't seem to be frustrated at all about that. So outside looking in, I would say a four. You know, obviously as a coach, you always want to get better. So I would say four or five, somewhere in that range.
Awesome stuff. Teron, thanks as always for doing this. We appreciate the report. And we will see you when you get back.
Yeah, for sure, man. Hey, make sure you guys turn on SportsCenter. I should be on there in the next hour.
We got it on.
Oh, okay. Oh,
let's go. We got it on.
Turn it now.
Awesome.
Hey, Cameron Ward is good for business, baby.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about it. Thanks, TD. Appreciate it.
All right, for sure. Appreciate it.
Teron Davenport joining us from Atlanta in joint practices. And, check him out on SportsCenter. And he is presented by Bart Durham Law. Appreciate them for being on board. I thought good stuff there. Anything kind of pop at you on some of the position battles?
He's there every day.
Yeah.
Every day, every practice, every snap. That's a guy to follow. We could pick and choose what we see on social media because we're not there every day. That dude's there every day, and he's got good knowledge. He knows what's going on. Good follow on Twitter. I'm good. I mean, he tells me Brian Callahan's at a four. That's fine. If he says that Cam Ward's at a 55%, to get ready for the first game, I believe all that. I just want to see more. And, you know, Teron hit it. You know, you don't see a lot of quarterbacks go four quarters in the preseason. This guy's a rookie.
Yeah.
I mean, so he's never done four quarters in professional football. I don't know. We won't see it. But I'd like to see him go, like Tim Hasselbeck said, into the second half.
Yeah. Yeah, I 100% agree. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai. com. We'll continue that discussion. Plus, today, coming up at the bottom of the hour, our ChatGPT college football playoff simulation.
Uh-huh.
This was by request.
By several people requested this one.
1951. We will do that at the bottom of the hour. But more reaction to what TD had to say, including this tight end group. I actually have a thought on this that I didn't think I would have. We'll do that coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel and broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. I have David Martin Robinson ahead of Josh Wiley right now. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Hey, you're not the only one. If you remember last year, one of my gems or diamonds was guy you just mentioned, you know. And, I mean, of course, I was a little biased because he's a Temple guy, you know what I mean? So it is what it is. But, I mean, you talk about an athlete. You talk about a guy that runs routes well. He actually has become a really good blocker for them also. And he is third on the depth chart there. And he's a guy that they apparently like more than Wiley. But, hey, let me tell you this. Josh Wiley had a touchdown yesterday and today. So he's trying to make sure that he's in the mix. And if they do release a tight end, I could tell you for sure one of them, they'll get scooped up because this league, they have their eyes on the Titans tight end group. I'm not saying it's the best or a top five in the league, like Cam Ward said about the receivers, but they are a group that a lot of people have their eyes on.
That was Teron Davenport just a few minutes ago with us. Hey, this September, Tim McGraw will be performing at Trinetics Rock the Cradle in Nashville, a meaningful event supporting newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.org. The tight end group is intriguing to me, and I'm feeling a little bit better about it than maybe I did before. Josh Wiley has been one that I've kind of been waiting to get it, and maybe these joint practices is that opportunity. But right now I have him fourth on the depth chart, but Helm's been good, and I think Okonkwo's had a nice camp at this point.
Well, the tight end now has become the love position. We love the tight end. I mean, because it has exploded in the last 5 to 7 years.
Well, because it's a safe space for the quarterback.
George Kittle, I mean, I still think they should have got Brock Bowers last year in the draft. A lot of people thought that as well. I thought it would have been great. So now you want to join the tight end game. If Gunnar Helm was great at Texas, he's not as big as I thought he was. I thought he was a lot bigger, bulkier. But who am I to, evaluate a player? But he's good, and that's the thing. You want the tight end to be able to block, be good. George Kittle's redefined what the tight end is now going forward. Guy who loves – I think George Kittle would rather lay you out on a block than score a touchdown. I mean, that's just the way it is. And so it's encompassed the team attitude. So you want that tight end who can block, who can catch, who can score, who's got that great attitude, who wants to lift you guys up. And I think you need that. And maybe Gunnar Helm's the guy. I don't think Chig is at all. I don't think he's just that good. I think Gunnar Helm will certainly evolve to that. But if Teron saying David Martin Robinson's got something, I'm all about that.
Well, he's now had two good years of training camp, and that's that's obviously a good thing. Is he good enough to make? Because he made the team. I think he made the team last year, but then they didn't. I never really remember hearing much about him. But if he's the third guy, I mean, we know this team likes to go 12 personnel a
right.
lot. So
they do.
Having a lot of a good available tight ends is certainly good for them.
I think, that's the safety valve. You talked about that for the quarterback. And look, we got spoiled on Whitecheck here when this team showed up, was really good. Then Delanie Walker came in here. And if they get a good tight end who's reliable and decent and down the field, make plays, that helps this football team out in so many ways. That's be so great. But again, you default back. That defense, holy cow. I mean, you have to outscore people by a lot to win games. And it's, if Ridley can go, if Lockett can go, if Bryce Oliver can be your guy, if Cam can get it going, again, there's a lot of positives. We just got to see it. We haven't seen it yet.
Hang on. Are you starting to talk yourself into what Cam Ward said and that they could be a top 10 offense?
Absolutely they can. They've got talent. I think Pollard's excellent. I think Ridley's excellent.
Yeah.
Tyler Lockett's still got gas in the tank. I'm telling you. Bryce Oliver is not bad. They got talent on this team. It's just that the defense is awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
They have talent on this team. I just got to see it all come together.
Right.
Yeah. And the thing that I hate harping on this, the thing I keep going back to in all of this is the coaching. Do they have the right coaching to develop and utilize the talent that's there?
We will find out. Again, if you know good and well, if this goes south and Patriots thump that bottom in October, he's gone.
Yeah.
And I would hate to be a coach knowing that. That's in the back of my mind every time I walk in that building. It is. And don't say the old line of like, oh, two types of coaches in the world. One's who got fired, one's who are going to get fired. I mean, that's just – we know all that stuff. So that doesn't – mean anything right now if you're Brian Callahan trying to put a team together. But, if Teron says his frustration rate's between a 4 and 5 out of 10, then that's okay. We got to see it. And then, the thing about football is we'll see it on September the 7th in Denver.
Wes and Hermitage, we should have never let go of Anthony Firkser.
Never. Never. Or Fasano.
Yeah, Fasano was good.
Fasano wasn't bad, man.
Yeah, I think he's coaching now.
He won it here in town?
No, well, maybe.
Hell, there's so many of them that stay here and coach in town. Fasano had the game winner versus the Saints in 2015. Mularkey's first win as head coach of the
– he sure did.
On the whatever that tight end leak out the backside and fake the play to one side, and he was wide open in the end zone.
Let's see. He is – I'm looking on Wikipedia because it tells you everything. So I guess he retired in 2017. For some reason, I thought he was a coach somewhere.
Could be. They all end up doing something like most of them do, sticking around. I mean, we could go a long list of Titans players that are coaching high school football. Hell, Tim said three yesterday. Leroy Harris, Ben Jones, Hasselbeck. We know Mettenberger's at Ryan. Kerry Collins is at Summit. The tight end that was from Kansas State.
Brett Kearns at FRA.
Brett Kearns at FRA. Castle is dealing with FRA, isn't he? Yep. Something over yep. there. Shad Meyer.
Yeah.
Is I think he was at Franklin. Is offensive line coach from a tight end for the Titans.
Kevin Dyson's a principal.
Kevin Dyson's a principal. So there's these a lot of these guys on and on and on. Do you have any Titans coaches at Ryan?
No, I don't believe so. I mean, we had like Mettenberger and Locker stop by. They did their little like camps and stuff, but no. I mean,
Mettenberger's head coach now.
Yep.
So, yeah, that is true. Not in my tenure, though.
Okay.
I know you guys mentioned Chris Sanders, I believe, at NBA.
Yeah, Chris Sanders is a good one. There's a kicker that was at Ravenwood. I don't know if he's still there.
Akers,
yeah, David Akers.
His kid's kicking at UCLA, I think. Yeah. It's at where it is? Yeah.
So there's quite a few that are there. We'll continue to take our question of the day, Joe, which is?
The Titans need somebody to fire them up. Who would you have bring in for the Titans to be the motivational speaker? It could be a real person. It could be a fictitious. It could be a movie star, whatever. Who would you have come in and speak to the Titans, get them fired up to motivate them? 615-737-1025.
Nevada Josh said Trump. That could be interesting.
Yeah, why? I mean, why not? If you can fire him up, let him go.
Coming up next, we will have ChatGPT do the 1951 college football season, in which like eight teams claim a national championship. We'll do it with the college football playoff format. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. We are presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. We will be there tomorrow at Barlines. Looking forward to that. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So we've been having some fun with this. We are 10 days away from college football.
We are, man.
10 days away. We are almost there.
Praise the Lord.
I think I'm going to go with a 4-TV setup this year. And anybody that asks me to do anything on Saturday, Sunday, or Monday of Labor Day weekend, the answer is kindly no.
What about the next weekend?
We'll see.
You'll be in Wisconsin with me.
I will. Yeah, that's right. I had to think about that for a second. So we'll have fun in Wisconsin. You'll get to try Spotted Cow for the first time.
Okay.
It'll be good. All right, so we've been asking ChatGPT just to have a little fun before we get to college football. Could you predict predict the national champion of a given year from the past using the college football playoff format? This has been a lot of fun. So yesterday we did 1998.
Right.
And then people were like, what about 1951? Because I guess there were a few national champions claimed.
Five teams have laid claim to the 1951 national championship. Tennessee, Maryland, Michigan State, Georgia Tech, and Illinois all have.
So this is what it said when I asked it. Let's reimagine the 1951 college football season under today's 12-team CFP rules. For reference, in real life, Tennessee finished 10-1. Michigan State was 9-0, Maryland was 10-0, and Georgia Tech was 11-0. But the AP awarded the title to Tennessee before bowl games. In our alternate 12-team playoff, we'll use the final pre-bowl AP rankings as seeding and account for bowl outcomes where applicable. So there you go. Tennessee is the number one seed. Then Michigan State, Maryland, they won the Southern Conference. And Georgia Tech, also representing the SEC. Then you have Illinois, as you like to say, Stanford, Princeton, Kentucky, Oklahoma, San Francisco, Syracuse, and Texas. The first round sees the 8-9 matchup. Kentucky takes on Oklahoma. Oklahoma's power run game overwhelms Kentucky's thin roster late. Oklahoma wins 24-17. The 5-seed Illinois against Texas. The 12 seed. Illinois' rushing attack and Big Ten line dominate Texas. Illinois wins it running away 28-10. the 7 seed against the 10 seed Princeton against 10 seed San Francisco. San Francisco's famous undefeated team with future NFL stars like Gino Marchetti and Ollie Mattson proves too much for Princeton's old-school single wing. San Francisco wins it 21-17. The single wing, how much you love that.
Love it, man.
The 6 seed Stanford against 11 seed Syracuse. Stanford passes its way past Syracuse in a shootout. Stanford wins 34-27. Now we go to the quarterfinals, the neutral sites, in the Sugar Bowl, Tennessee against Oklahoma. Tennessee's stout defense bends but doesn't break. Hank Lauricella's running seals it, and Tennessee wins 20-14.
Go Vols!
So the Vols survive. Georgia Tech against Illinois, the 4-5. This at the Orange Bowl. Illinois' size up front wears down Georgia Tech. Paul Williams' late touchdown seals it. Illinois wins it 27-20. The 3-seed Maryland against the 6-seed Stanford at the Cotton Bowl. Maryland's balanced attack and Jim Tatum's coaching proved to be too much. Maryland wins by 10, 31-21.
All right.
And then finally, the 2-seed Michigan State against the 10-seed San Francisco at the Rose Bowl. The Cinderella Dons hang tough, but Michigan State's big backs grind them down. Michigan State wins 24-13.
All right, keep going.
Now we move to the semifinals. The 1-seed Tennessee against Illinois. A defensive slugfest, Johnny Majors Vols win a field position war 17-10.
Johnny Majors, is that ChatGPT?
Yeah.
He had nothing to do with that 51 team.
That's what it says, Johnny Majors.
Yeah.
That's funny. Michigan State versus Maryland. Maryland shocks Michigan State with early passing strikes and holds on late. Maryland wins 24-20.
Okay.
In the national championship game, Tennessee against Maryland, it says played at a modern college football style neutral site. Let's say the Cotton Bowl in Dallas.
Okay.
Maryland jumps out early with quarterback Jack Scarbath engineering 2 touchdown drives, but Tennessee's defense adjusts. Lauricella and Hersky Payne combine for a grinding second half, and a late interception by Tennessee seals it. They win the national championship 21-17.
Well, I guess there it is. Tennessee does lay claim to that.
And go 12-0 in that format in 1951.
You know who the coach of Kentucky was in 1951?
Bear Bryant.
Bear Bryant.
Paul Bear Bryant.
Yep. So I'm surprised Alabama didn't claim that one, too, since they claim every other one.
They do claim quite a bit of
for
them.
For Moe's going there. It's funny. You look at the 51 season. Hank, who won the Heisman Trophy? That guy just had his name out here.
Oh, people are mad at me that I didn't do the voice.
Oh, yeah. All right.
The 1951 national champions, the Tennessee Volunteers, defeating the Maryland Terrapins. 17.
It was nothing. Dick Kazmaier from Princeton won Heisman Trophy in 51.
Old Dick Kazmaier.
But one of the top players in the country that year was NBA graduate Bill Wade at Vanderbilt.
Ah, Bill Wade. Oh, yeah, he was good in the 50s.
Really good.
Drafted by Chicago Bears.
The Rams.
The Rams, then the Bears.
Then traded to Chicago where he got it done. So, yeah, that's kind of cool there. So, good for – so, Tennessee, good job.
Yeah.
Except the Johnny Majors thing.
Yeah, that was weird. I mean, look, there's going to be some of that.
There should be none of that chat GPT.
Well, I don't know. Write a letter to chat GPT.
I will. It'll tell me to screw off when I do that. And it says, I will kill you at 2 in the morning when you're sleeping.
Probably.
When the phone takes after you. No, I think that's very cool. History of college football is fun. I mean, that is fun because we all imagine what it was like back then. We have no idea. By the way, Tennessee that season, let me tell you this real quick. They beat Tennessee winning the national championship that year. Hold on. Come with me. Well, don't go anywhere. They beat Tennessee Tech, Chattanooga, and Washington and Lee at home.
And oh, wow.
Three of their 8 wins were over those teams.
So who was General Nealon still the coach? Who was the coach?
It was General Nealon.
Well, there you go.
Robert Nealon was in his 20th season head coach at the University of Tennessee.
When did Majors play there?
54, 55, and 56. Should have won the Heisman Trophy in 56. And Dr. Cran's getting mad at me. Paul Hornung won the Heisman Trophy because – he was 2-8, but Paul Hornung went to Notre Dame, and most of the sports writers were Catholic and gave it to Paul Hornung. I will die on that hill. I'll die on that hill that Johnny Majors was better than Paul Hornung.
I mean, as long as they said the rosary, it's okay.
Speaking of Tennessee, I guess something's official. It's been out there for a while.
Yeah, right.
And I wonder how much we really care about this anymore. We'll discuss that next. Plus, the last Heisman winner of each SEC school, Joe has pulled that.
Oh, this is a trivia for you, Chase McCabe.
Okay, we will do that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe on this Wednesday, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. Hey, this week's Nashville's best deal, Fat Bottom Brewing Company. Love Fat Bottom Brewing Company. Join Fat Bottom this Saturday for their Lucky 13 anniversary party at 844th Avenue North in Nashville. It's a full day of casino-themed fun, live tattoos from Black 13, face painting, balloon art, games, and, of course, ice-cold beer. Get a $100 gift card, half off while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Plus, don't miss their Lucky 13 anniversary party this Saturday at Fat Bottom Brewing Company. Definitely a cool place to check out. All right, the news on Tennessee, I guess, have they made it official? They're going back to Adidas?
In 26 or 27. I think it ends in 26, so I guess it'd be next year.
Yeah, I feel like this was a big deal for a while, but now it's not as big of a deal because we're just so used to college teams and now NFL teams having like 7 uniforms.
Right.
So it's like whatever. I like the smoky gray and the black uniform or the night mode and all that stuff. So
I hear old man yelling at cloud. I don't, but they're not trying to appeal to me, and I understand that. There's a reason Alabama has never gone to some kind of cutesy uniform. I mean, Florida did with the helmets, which was okay a few years ago, but I get it. I understand it. It ain't about me. I appreciate it.
That's fine. You've done some fun little research on something.
I was looking something up. I wanted a question to see if Vanderbilt has ever had a player even get Heisman Trophy votes. And I can't find – so I don't know. I can't find it anywhere.
Bill Wade didn't?
So I don't know. It didn't say it wouldn't pop up. So when I click on this link, there's a guy that we know well. He came up as an expert in football. And if I would show you his picture, you would laugh. So I just said, I'm not – I just X'd out of it. I'll show you who it is.
He came up as an expert in football?
In football, yeah. When I'll tell you during the break, you'll be like, oh, I'd have clicked out of it too. So it is for you people out there listening. We're going to name the last Heisman winner from each SEC school. Now, there are 7 SEC teams who've never had a Heisman Trophy winner. Go.
Tennessee.
1.
Vanderbilt.
2.
South Carolina.
False.
Oh. Kentucky.
3.
Missouri.
4.
Arkansas.
5.
2 more.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think.
What's up, man? My daddy never won one.
Ole Miss.
6.
Mississippi State.
7. That's correct. There you go. All right. So Chase McCabe. Last Heisman winner from, and they left a school. I'm trying to figure out which school it is because I've only got 15 schools. This is a new, where they've added Texas and Oklahoma to this. So LSU, last player to win the Heisman Trophy.
Joe Burrow.
Incorrect.
Oh, yeah. What's his name?
Come on, buddy.
Dang it.
You got this. Somebody right now in their car screaming.
Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels.
Thank you.
Alabama, last Heisman winner from Alabama.
Bryce Young.
Yep, what year?
2021.
That a boy. Oklahoma football.
Baker?
Incorrect.
Oh,
he's tiny.
Yeah, the short guy. why am I blanking on these quarterbacks' names?
Video games.
Just say it.
Kyler Murray.
Yeah, Kyler Murray. Thank you. I don't know why I'm blanking on names today.
Texas A&M.
Johnny Manziel.
There you go. 2012. I had to give you the
I was getting there. I was just trying to think of the year.
The Auburn Tigers. Last Heisman Trophy winner from that school.
Cam Newton.
Cam Newton. Good job. The Florida Gators. And what year?
Tim Tebow.
Mm-hmm.
09?
No, close though.
10?
Nope.
8? 7?
7, there you go. The Texas Longhorns, their last Heisman Trophy winner.
Vince didn't win it. Should have. Ricky Williams?
Yes, sir.
If you're watching the stream, you saw what Joe did.
What year did Ricky Williams win the Heisman Trophy?
That would have been... Was it 99?
Close.
2000?
Other way.
98?
98. And finally, you got to get this one to make me feel better. South Carolina, who's their only and last Heisman Trophy winner.
See, I'm blanking on this.
He was the number one draft choice in 1981 for the New Orleans Saints. Played four seasons there, got a little trouble, ended up winning a Super Bowl ring with the Redskins in 87.
I don't remember. Well, it was obviously before my time.
It was. It's all right, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
He probably shouldn't have won it that year. Herschel Walker should have won it. George Rogers, Heisman Trophy winner, 1980. Now, my mind is warped. I can't figure out who the last school is because they've got 15 schools here, and there's 16. Oh, they left off Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia.
This list left off Georgia. This is from BetMGM, too.
Come on.
You bastards. Come on, man.
Herschel. Yeah.
In 82, that would be it.
Yeah.
He left them off. But it's interesting to know that Tennessee, Ole Miss, and Arkansas have never won a Heisman Trophy winner. Majors should have won in 56. Peyton probably should have won in 97. Other than that, nobody else has come close.
Yeah, Peyton.
You were young, boy. At what, you were like 9? How old did you win in 97?
I was 10.
Yeah.
I was 10. But, no, I vividly remember that because I was sitting on the floor at my grandparents' house, and I don't think I cried, but I was mad. I was, like, really mad when he didn't win because I loved him at Tennessee.
Do you remember the four that were up, the other three with him that were up for it? Woodson won, so we got two.
It was Woodson, Manning, Ryan Leaf.
Ryan Leaf.
Who was the other one? Werfel was already gone, right?
Werfel won in 96,
yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't remember.
He played it at the time. They were in FCS program.
I still don't remember.
He is one of the greatest receivers of all time.
Oh. Oh, no. Randy Moss?
Randy Moss at Marshall. Right. That did that. It's funny. There was a book that came out about ESPN called, I forget what the name of it was. Came out in the mid-2000s. If you remember the comment that Chris Fowler had when Peyton didn't win, he said it sent Tennessee fans into a trailer park
frenzy.
Frenzy.
Yep.
And that's – I was told for a while that game day did not want to go to Knoxville because of that comment.
I believe it.
So, I mean, I do. And he's apologized for it and all that other stuff. But at the time when he said that, that inflamed so many people that he said that.
So a couple of texts on our text line driven by WilsonKennyHunter.com. 4405, Hendon would have won if not for the injury. I will say – I halfway agree, but keep in mind, he was playing like crap against South Carolina before he got hurt.
It's only one game.
I know.
I think they would have rolled.
I think he would have definitely been a top three.
Yeah. Who won in 22? I used to be so good at this, Heisman Trophy guys. Daniels, 23. 21, Bryce Young. 22 was?
Caleb Williams.
Good Lord, Joe.
Yep.
Caleb Williams. Yeah. So that's –
Bama won back-to-back with Devontae Smith and Bryce Young.
That's right. Tony Robinson, Tennessee quarterback, we all know this, would have won in 85 had he not blown his knee out versus Alabama. Cover Sports Illustrated, that team was rolling. Tony Robinson would absolutely win a Heisman Trophy in 85.
What do you think about this? Chris says Darren McFadden had an argument for Arkansas.
100%.
Yeah.
It might have been 06, 07, or 08, one
of those. Houston Nutt.
Yep.
That might have been like 05.
They had Felix Jones on that team as well and Peyton Hillis. They had a hell of a running back.
The Cowboys kept taking him. they all kept going to Dallas.
Yep.
He's 37 years old.
He's your age.
Yeah, he's my age.
McFadden?
Yeah.
Yeah.
His birthday is August
27th. Hey!
So, yeah, so I guess he was with the Raiders from 2008 to 2014, and then the Cowboys.
He was real. 06 and 07, he was good.
And then, let's see. Devin from Dover, Jalen Hyatt should have been in the discussion.
Yeah. Nope. Nice try, though, getting your ball there.
Carl Hinkle of Vandy finished 7th in 1937. Jim from Springfield.
Thank you, Jim. You had time to look, Jim. Thank you. I found that interesting. Carl Hinkle.
Yeah, Chris said 06 when Troy Smith won.
06, yep. Troy Smith, that, oh. I mean, you win the Heisman Trophy, you deserve it, I get it. But, yeah, McFadden should have probably been in 06.
James has a quick Paul Hornung story. James, what's up?
Yes, I got in the car and heard you all talking about it. I don't know what event it was, but many years after that controversy on who should have won the Heisman Trophy, I think in 56, I think it was, when Paul Hornung won. Many, many years later, probably decades later, Paul Hornung and Johnny Majors got together on an event. I don't know if it was a race charity, but it was an event where they were both attending. And Paul Hornung walked up to Johnny Majors and just asked him, who do you think should have won the Heisman Trophy that year? And without even hesitation, Johnny Majors looked him right in the eye and said, Jim Brown from Syracuse. I don't know if many people know that or not, but that's a true story.
Holy
cow.
Thank
you so much for letting me take that call. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, James.
Wow. That was a good story. Thanks, James.
Pretty good. I thought Majors would be like, me.
Me.
Should have won it. Dadgummit. I tell you, generational thing. When Johnny Majors did his coach's show, he did not see the game film until he watched it on TV.
Yeah.
So he would watch it, and then he'd react. And I don't know how he didn't cuss, because he was, like, yelling at Reggie White all that time and yelling at linebackers. It was a must-watch coach's show because his reaction was so genuine, man.
Oh, very, very good. We'll get back into Titans practice and much more coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.